Hello, hello. It's Brooke Devard, and you are listening to the Naked Beauty Podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'm recording this intro Sunday evening, October 22nd. Just a week ago, I had the beautiful and talented women from Saint Beauty here with me at my place. Alex and Isis, the members of Saint Beauty, have been brought into the industry and kind of introduced to us all via Janelle Monáe. She signed them to Wonderland, and they're just so talented. They met working at a vintage store, which I think is the cutest story ever, and it absolutely shows in their style. I mean, follow them on Instagram, guys, at Saint Beauty Band, ST Beauty Band, inspiration for days. I can't suggest you follow them enough. So the week that they came in for the interview, it was in the wake of all of these sexual abuse and harassment stories attached to Harvey Weinstein coming forward. Story after story of actresses and models and even some women who weren't public figures at all explaining how they were sexually harassed or abused or raped or just made to feel uncomfortable by this extremely powerful man. And now, more stories are coming forward. Lupita Nyong'o is the latest actress to be added to an ever-growing list of women that have had these horrible experiences. Lupita's story was published by the New York Times on Friday. You know, Lupita Nyong'o is an Oscar-winning, world-renowned, respected actress now, but at one point she was just a student at Yale studying drama, and she meets this powerful Hollywood producer, Harvey Weinstein, someone who she was told could make things happen for her, and he took her out to lunch, and she explains in this story about, I mean, I suggest you guys read it, but how he kind of bullied her into drinking vodka and soda during this lunch that they were having by her school. And she was kind of like, water is just fine, thank you. And although that's unnerving, it wasn't necessarily enough to say, okay, this person is a predator. So he later invited her to his home with his wife and kids to watch a movie, which seems innocent enough and it seems safe, but once they were there, he brought her to a room upstairs and asked her to give him a massage. She got out of that situation, but a lot of women weren't able to extract themselves from these, frankly, horrifying scenarios where you're alone with this man who's physically stronger than you, with an incredibly intimidating presence, and then you layer on the power dynamic and the leverage that he had over these women's careers. It's just, it's really indefensible what he's done, and it's indefensible that it has been accepted and tolerated, and I'm so happy that these stories are coming forward. And the thing that's so hard about this, the thing that's so tough about this, is it's not just Hollywood, right? This is happening everywhere. Sexual harassment is an epidemic. A waitress who's just, you know, dealing with her table has to deal with guys, you know, calling her out of her name and trying to get her number. I'm walking down the street getting catcalled, and it has nothing to do with what you're wearing. I can be in sweatpants and, you know, a hoodie and looking any kind of way, and men will go out of their way to catcall and make me feel uncomfortable, and it's unacceptable. When you grow up in New York City, sexual harassment in the form of catcalling is kind of part of everyday life. It's not even something to write home about, you know, for lack of a better term. It's just what comes with the territory. But there are times where I've also felt just extremely unsafe. Very recently, after I got my hair done, I was in a neighborhood I didn't know that well, and there was a man who just kind of followed me in his car, catcalling me for like 3 or 4 blocks, and I had to get out my phone and call my husband and just say, just stay on the phone with me, just stay on the phone with me until I get to the subway. But it's scary. It's scary, and women shouldn't be made to feel unsafe. There's something that's so amazing about the fact that these two young women have been brought into the industry by another woman, right? Janelle Monáe is an artist herself, but she's also a businesswoman and a visionary, and that's a gift. And the more women we have in positions of power, the more women that are gatekeepers to success, the better. I think that things will change. I am positive. I am optimistic. And it was also really interesting to hear from Joy Young. She is their manager. So she came over with the girls for the interview. And we just started talking casually after we wrapped up things about all of this, you know, Harvey Weinstein drama. And she started talking about all of the crap she had to deal with as a woman coming up in the entertainment industry. And so, you know, me being who I am, I was like, oh, can I get, you know, a few minutes with you on the mic to talk about this? So I actually have an interview with her at the end of this episode, some bonus content. She talks about her experience and some coping mechanisms she developed to become the professional and the woman that she is today. But she had to deal with the same kind of crap from men that expected more from her than just her work. And guys, I'm sorry for the heavy start to this episode. It just makes me mad, but it's a fun episode. We talk about a lot of great things. The name of this episode is Know Your Worth. These are two women who know who they are, they know what their purpose is, and they know exactly how they want to tell their story. And in telling their story, they have a really clear idea about how they want to self-present. These girls style themselves, they do their own hair, they do their own makeup. They really know how they want to tell their story. I think it's such an important message for everyone, especially women today. Know your worth. Know who you are. Know who you want to be in this world. Know that you don't have to accept any limitations or make any concessions to get to where you're trying to go in this world. Always, always come back to knowing who you are and knowing that you deserve the absolute, absolute best. Thank you so much for listening. I will let the beautiful music from Saint Beauty take us into the interview. You ain't worth nothing. I should have seen it coming. You said I was the only one. We were having so much fun. I want something. And now I want something. Hello, hello. You're listening to the Naked Beauty Podcast with Brooke Devard. I'm here with the girls of Saint Beauty. If you guys could just introduce yourselves.
Hey, I'm Alex.
And I'm Isis.
I'm really excited to have you guys on because I feel like you guys obviously are very talented and beautiful. But you're really thoughtful about your self-presentation and there's like some intelligence behind it. Mm-hmm. And it's actually interesting now that I'm like a year into doing my podcast, I have people that pitch me, like they're like, oh, I want to be a guest or, mm-hmm. You know, I work on behalf of this person and I think they'd be great for the show. And it's hard for me to say yes, because I feel like there has to be like intellectual chemistry. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like beauty can also be seen as really shallow. Right?
Yeah.
And it's just about makeup and hair trends, and it's so much deeper than that.
We're just talking about that.
Beauty fades.
Yeah.
And there has to be more to you than just how you look. And I think people, like, they look at us, like, at our Instagram or anything, they're like, oh, they did this. And it's like, we didn't really think it out. It's just, like, who we've been, like, we met at a vintage store. It's just been a part of us.
It's, like, in your DNA.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and it's just, like, making sure that we are showing more, or people know more than just how we look. That, I don't know. That's just not really our purpose.
Right.
Like, why we're doing this.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm happy you brought up your Instagram because it is, you guys seem very, like, if I just followed you on Instagram, I mean, you guys are very cool in person as well, but, like, it is very well curated and it expresses who you guys are really well. Do you put, like, time and thought into what you guys post? And, I mean, you must. It's so done.
We definitely do put thought into what we post because we want everything to line up with what we, you know, believe in or what we like.
So. Right. It's interesting because I think, Isis, we were following each other, right?
Yeah.
And then like 2 years ago, we ran into each other at Starbucks and you were like, oh, I follow you.
So
and I was like, I follow you too. Yeah. But it's like you can follow people and you kind of think you know them in this weird way. And like you kind of do know them.
Yeah.
And you guys have such amazing style. Like working with stylists, is it hard for you guys sometimes? Or is it kind of like you got just bouncing ideas? Because I feel like you guys know how to dress, and I'm a stylist, and I'm like, oh, I want you in this and that, and like in your head, you guys must be thinking, like, I don't know.
No, it is kind of hard. I remember, when we were styled for a tour, he's amazing, but like his name is Troy Allen. He's a really amazing stylist, but I was really uncomfortable because I just didn't like. I wasn't used to being styled. I know what I like.
You know how you want things to fit like a certain way,
right?
I remember we went to that thrift store. And I had that dress on. She was like, that looks amazing. I was ma'am.
I know. Salespeople always try to do the most.
And then the lady in the dressing room next to her was like, yeah, no, don't get that.
Shout out to her for keeping it honest.
I know.
That's
like,
so funny.
They're like, yeah, that'll work. You're like, I don't really feel comfortable. Like, we know how we want to move. Like, it's just, it needs to feel comfortable, and everything doesn't have to even be on trend. Like,
of course, yeah.
As long as it fits well, the colors are right, and it's just, I don't know, unique. I can't explain
it. Yeah, you just know it when you see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, so before we get really, really into it, I want to ask you guys about October 7th, 2017. Do you guys know what day this is? I'll tell it to you from my point of view. Issa Rae, who I'm a huge fan of, starts an Instagram live story. She's like, I'm throwing this party. It's called Lemon Pepper.
Oh, God.
And I'm like literally watching this Instagram story as if I'm watching Insecure. Like, it's like unfolding. Like, all these cool people are coming in. So the cast of Insecure is there. Then the cast of Atlanta rolls through. It's like Donald Glover is there. Luke James is there. Like, all of these amazing, beautiful, talented black people in Atlanta. Janelle Monáe comes through. Then at one point they pan over and Samuel Jackson is like eating wings on a couch. And I was like, what is this party? And so as the night goes on, then I'm like, are these the girls from St. Beauty up in the mix? What was that party like? Because I'm watching it at home, like, this looks amazing.
It was surreal. Just walking in and seeing Samuel Jackson sitting on the couch eating chicken wings.
I can't even imagine.
That was crazy. And it was just like, Issa Rae has so much hospitality, like leading us to the drinks and the food and introducing us to everyone.
So she's a good host.
Yeah. She was definitely a good host.
Oh my gosh.
Everybody was fun. Like, there was no pressure to be like, ooh, this person is here, let's act. Like, it was so chill. Everybody was like, I thought it was like a family reunion kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, what's up? Hey, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, no one felt uncomfortable. Yeah, I don't know. We didn't know what we walked ourselves into.
No.
I couldn't even imagine. When you're in those spaces, do you feel like, okay, this is kind of like I'm living in this new, like, this isn't your average house party? Do you have like a moment where you just look around and you're like, look at who's around me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's crazy just to be surrounded with all these amazing people at
right.
once.
Right, know, and all that talent.
Spot. Yeah, and once, yeah.
We're just like, why are we here?
I mean, but of course you guys have to be there. If it's like Atlanta's best, most creative, you have to be in the mix, yeah.
And that's really cool, like, yeah. I don't know. I guess because, like, me and Alex, we just be at home, like, in our element.
Right.
So we have no idea, like, where we stand in the world in a way. So you walk out and everyone's like, oh, we love you. And we're like, oh, thanks. Like,
yeah.
We don't know, like,
it's right.
happening. So when we're in those rooms, we're like, man, we're like fans ourselves. So
right.
we're seeing this, we're like, wow, we're in the same room with Samuel Jackson, the most, you know, he's like the actor who's been in the most movies, like,
I know.
Ever. And,
living legend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even Donald Glover, I think he's a legend.
I know.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And even the actors on Atlanta are so talented. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Amanda Steinberg was there.
I know. And how old is she? She's so young, right? I'm like, are you old enough to be at this party?
Yeah, she was chill. She was in the,
yeah.
You know, chilling.
Yeah.
Do you guys feel like when people do come up to you and like say, oh my gosh, I love you, like, let me take a picture with you, is it still like weird for you? Or are you getting kind of like over time getting more comfortable with that?
I don't think I'll ever be comfortable with that because I still see myself as awkward Alex. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't think I'll ever be comfortable with someone being like, oh, you're so amazing. You know, because I don't know. That's just not. I don't wake up in the morning like, I'm amazing.
I'm a star.
Yeah.
I actually heard your music for the first time on that season one playlist from Insecure. How did you discover your music? Like, did the show creators reach out or?
Honestly, I don't know how the, like, what conversation you had, but I do know that she was friends with Jadena.
Oh, yes. And I went to Stanford with Jadena and actually, like, styled one of their, like, music videos. They were in this band called Fear and Fancy.
Yeah.
And it was, like, you know, very tight student budget music video. The song was called Man of the Hour. I don't know where any of that footage lives. But, like, I just, like, went to Haight & Ashbury, all those vintage stores there, and I just pulled a bunch of stuff. And here's the thing. To your point, you know, I asked you guys earlier about, like, how do you feel when other people style you? Like, I'm looking at Jadena, like, how am I supposed to style him? Right? Like, he's perfect. He knows what to wear. He knows everything. So it was really, it was a tough, tough job. But, like, they've just always been so cool. So, okay, so it's through Jadena, you think?
That's what I think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, either way, it's a blessing that they even reached out. And,
yeah.
Yeah, Issa Rae has been super supportive of Wonderland. And not only, we weren't the only ones who were on the show as far as our music. Roman was also, his music was also on the show. Roman John Arthur.
Okay.
And, of course, Jadena actually was
in the show. Yes.
So she's been really supportive.
Yeah, his storyline with Molly was interesting. I was like, Molly, can you just hold back a little bit and not be so desperate?
People out there like that. You have to see themselves.
I know, I know. Insecure is like a great mirror to a lot of the things that we see. Yeah. I just came back from the Hip Hop Awards, BET Hip Hop Awards, and I did like red carpet reporting for the first time, which like I've never done. Like at Viacom, I work in marketing. Like I'm at a desk all day. I'm not like doing red carpet interviews, but we were doing this video around hip hop and how it's becoming more and more mainstream. But it was my first time ever doing like red carpet interviews, and it was such like an eye-opening experience. One, I was exhausted after 3 hours of just standing and asking people questions. So I can't even imagine how much like physical but also emotional energy it takes to perform. And then you guys are playing instruments. So like on a scale of 1 to 10, what I was doing asking questions was like a 3, if that. And I was like, oh, my shoes hurt. I'm like exhausted. My cheeks hurt from smiling. Versus like when I think about what it must take to perform and play. And then also your songs are so personal. So there's like that emotional energy that's, you know, going out as well. Like, how do you rest and like keep your energy up in between these performances? Also, the other thing that I was wondering was like, is it just me that's finding this to be so taxing? Or is this at like, you know, do you just get used to it?
I think it's more like practice. Like when we have shows, we rehearse. Like, so we may rehearse like 4 hours, like for 5 days, maybe 3 days in a row, and then maybe take a break, and then another 2 days, like just going hard. And I think it's like anything, like whether you're playing like a sport or, you know, anything you do, you just have to like continue like practicing it. Like I still take vocal lessons, guitar lessons, just to make sure that everything is one, you know, because so many things are going on in my head. I gotta make sure, like, oh, if I'm playing this note, I'm gonna make sure it's on time and I'm singing in the right pitch. And so it's like, I don't know, you have to just like continue like practice at it. So that's really what it's been. Like, we've been together for 5 years, so continuously we've gotten better. Believe us, we've had like some great tough shows.
And even when we are performing, we have to constantly keep in our minds that it's not about us. Like, we have to connect with the audience.
That's interesting.
And not be so wrapped up in our own minds or our own mistakes and all these things. Like, we have to make sure that we're connecting with the audience.
That's interesting.
They're receiving, you know.
Right. And that took time because, like I said, there's so much going on up here.
Right.
You have to make sure you're, like, just one. So when it's ready to do it, you're just, like, on autopilot. And then you're doing that right. But now you can actually be one, like Alex said, with the people as well. So I think that's my personal, you know, struggle that I had to deal with, but I've been working at it. And when Alex and I like got together, we made sure like our whole focus was to heal and inspire people. So as long as that's happening, like we're fine with we want those people. Like, we want those people, whoever trusts us with their emotions, those are people that we want.
In terms of you guys want to heal and inspire people, I think that's a very like lofty mission and admirable, and I think that's amazing. Throughout your life, who has healed and inspired you?
I would say even one of the inspirations is Janelle. Like, when I first saw her perform, I was like, wow, this is, what is this? Like, what's happening?
Where did you see her perform first?
I saw her at Smitso Bar.
When was
in
this?
Atlanta. I don't remember the year, but I remember she was like, it was like MySpace days.
Okay.
So like, I was like, ooh, I'm going to start going to shows. That was like my first time like going to a show by myself.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm just going to go to a show. And I saw her perform for the first time, and I was like, wow. Like, to see, I don't know, just like seeing somebody like us. And she was in Atlanta. It was like, wow. Like, because at that time, it was like everybody, you know, Beyonce. Not to say anything bad about Beyonce or anybody that's in that realm. But this was just something totally different that I've never seen before.
Right, right. And you see someone like her and you think, oh, I can be a musician that's not even like that, but my own person, right? Like,
yeah, she's like dark skin, like just all the things that we can relate to. Is that, and I also had this kind of revelation about like my parents, how they're like still people. And, like,
I know, we get older and then you realize that you're like, wow, my parents, they're just people.
And they go through whatever they're going through. And I know like my dad, like he just like been happy for me and stuff. And I don't know, just like seeing him like heal over things and music. And I was like, healing, even like for us, like writing is like therapy. So it's like healing and inspiring. Like, I don't know, just when we got together, I feel like that's just like our personality too. Like, we're not emo, but we're like very, you know,
in touch with your emotions.
And
that's important.
So we're like, yeah, this is why we're doing it, because it makes us feel good.
And I would definitely say the same thing about family. I'm always inspired by my family. Like, my mom, she's always praying and just uplifting everybody, and she's so selfless. Like, she's always doing for other people. And even my sister, too. Like, my sister's been through so much, and she's still, like, here. Like, she's so strong.
Right.
Like, there's so many stories about my sister that are just like, whoa. But she still, like, got through it. And that's super inspiring for me. And an artist that I definitely looked up to as I was a teen was Kid Cudi.
Oh, yes.
I love Kid Cudi. Like, and he's gone through so much, too.
So
like,
much.
And he puts it in his music, and I really appreciate that.
It
made me feel less alone in, like, certain situations. So I would definitely say Kid Cudi in my family.
Yeah. No, I love Kid Cudi. I feel like he's been so open about dealing with anxiety and depression and all these things that not only as a man, but as a black man, aren't necessarily acceptable to talk about. And when I think about, like, what's going on in the world, I mean, it's always been hard, but, like, now feels especially tough. Like, it's so important to have art, whether that's music or visual art or film, to, like, as an outlet is so important.
Yeah.
It's tough times. Okay, I do want to segue a little bit into some beauty talk, because I'm trying to think, like, I'm going to start with the top down. So you guys are both beautiful natural hair.
Thank you.
Gorgeous natural hair.
Thank you.
I used to model, like, forever ago, and I was always so terrified of, I think I did one shoot and I had my natural hair, and they brought out, like, a hot iron at, like, 450 degrees and some hairspray. It's just, you know, just some white person, just how do I, you know, train this hair to be straight so it can do what it needs to do? And I was like, no, I can't. So, and that's why most black models wear weaves. Or they try to protect their hair, because you're going to have all these people in it doing stuff to it, and you want to protect it. How do you guys protect your hair when you have all these shoots? You just say, like, no heat, like, or do you allow people to, like, get in there and do stuff? Because I don't trust people. That's my whole thing. No, I'm serious.
No, I
don't
honestly,
trust people. I don't trust people at all.
Honestly, nobody touches my hair.
Good, okay.
Like, nobody. I always do my own hair when we're doing shoots or whatever. I'm always doing my hair.
Yeah, that's kind of how you have to be. No, it's true. Have you guys ever had, I've had heat damage before, and there's no bouncing back. I mean, you just have to cut that part of your hair out.
Yeah, my hair broke off. I remember I'm not saying what shoot it was, but I think it broke my hair off. So I did start wearing, like, a wig.
You know? Yeah.
And I was, like, afraid, because I was like, I've never worn a wig before. Like, what is going to happen?
Yeah.
Is people going to see it? Is it blending?
Yeah.
So I wore it for a couple of months and, like, had my hair to grow back. But, I mean, when we do have shoots, I kind of have my hair already ready. And then there's like, little touch-ups, like, oh, yeah, maybe this, that.
Yeah, okay.
But I don't just come in like, all right, do whatever.
Do whatever. Yeah, because you can't.
Scary. Yeah.
You can't. Yeah, I think, and also I think because natural hair is becoming, I mean, it's so sad that it's taken this long to become, like, right? Because it's just, like, our hair.
Yeah.
I know.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. I have so many feelings about being natural, and just even within the natural hair community, because so right now I'm doing protective styling, which even the term protective styling is funny to me, because it's, like, it's just a weave or crochet braids or something, but, like, there seems to be, like, this... Yes, like, to differentiate yourself from people that just have regular waves. Like, no, this is a I'm doing a protective style. You know, it's like...
It's not my everyday, okay?
Right. So it's like, I feel like there's a lot of levels of, like, how natural are you within the community itself? And there's a lot of politics wrapped in it. And it almost feels like, to me, it's like, can't this just be, like, an aesthetic choice? Like, I'm natural because I think my hair looks dope this way. Not, like, I'm natural because I'm honoring my ancestors. Like, that's beautiful, too. But do you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like there's, like, a lot gets piled onto it.
Yeah.
And I feel like we should be at the point now where it's just, like, it just looks great.
Yeah, that's how I am. Mm-hmm. Like, I put heat on my hair. I don't care if people know I put heat on it.
Right.
Or if I want to color it, I will color it.
Yeah.
If I want to straighten it one day, I will do that. And I have the right to do that. So there's someone else. So And I would never judge anybody over their hair. Like, that's ridiculous.
Right.
How long have you guys been natural?
I mean, I've never really had a perm, like a real perm, but
that's a blessing. Amazing. Talk to me about your parents. They just shielded you?
Not even. I mean, I don't even know. Like, my hair is very soft.
Yeah,
already. So, like, if I got a perm, I would be bald right now.
Are like, have you done a perm?
Yeah, my hair is too thick. So, like,
wait, where in the UK were you living?
I moved with my dad, and I like, he wouldn't allow me to do that. So, like, my hair grew so much.
Yeah.
I came back to Atlanta, and everyone was like, oh, my God. And I was like, I mean, I don't know. But, yeah, I went back, though, because it was hard to take care of. I didn't know anything about taking
care of hair. Yeah, we didn't have YouTube. We didn't have Pinterest. We didn't have anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then, like, when I got on YouTube, I found out how to like, do my hair. So,
yes.
So, I think, like, after... Honestly, after, like, seeing Janelle, and I, you know... yeah. But I was like, oh, she can do it. Like, I can do it, too.
True. She's also, though, just, I think, beautiful. She's abnormally perfect and beautiful.
Yeah, skin.
Skin, hair, everything is just, like, on a slightly, like, different level.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's interesting, like, watching those YouTube tutorials, too. Like, sometimes I feel bad about myself because I'm like, I'm using the same Eco Styler gel. I've got the same kinky curly cut. Like, I'm using the same products in the same order. And, like, that's your twist out and this is mine. Like, what am I?
Whatever works for you.
I know.
So there was this hairstylist. He was like, you always skip he said, always skip a step so they don't know exactly what you do.
No.
That's what they do in, like, magazines.
That's evil.
Oh,
that's evil. But that makes sense because I'm like, I'm following these directions and the result is not the same at all. That's so funny. Okay. You guys have, I feel like, if I can just guess what you're doing to your hair, I feel like you do heat and then it looks like Bantu knot out because the spirals. Okay. Thank you. I've watched too many hair tutorials. And then are you also doing a Bantu knot out, but on wet hair maybe, and then waiting for it to dry?
Mm-mm.
You do it on dry hair?
Yeah.
I
stretch my hair with Bantu knots, and then when I take them out, I'll maybe, like, pick it out and then, like, just start doing the little...
Like, you recurl things. It.
Yeah.
And you have a beautiful hair color. Is your hair colored this, like, beautiful dark brown?
I got my hair colored a long time ago, and my roots just grew out. So
it's colored. It's natural. Amazing. Amazing.
Thank you.
When you guys first went natural, like, at least for me, I had this whole, like, product junkie phase where I literally bought everything. Like, I bought every detangling spray, every apple cider vinegar, whatever, every coconut oil, every castor oil, every shea butter, like, everything. And then I feel like after the years go on, you kind of learn what works and what doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have the same.
Yeah.
Somewhat. Definitely.
I started off with like Cantu, but I don't like Cantu.
They changed their formula, I think.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't like it, but I also started, when I went natural, I got sew-ins. So.
Okay. At first.
Yeah.
So you did the big chop, but you never like lived life with like super short hair.
Chop.
Oh, you didn't.
No.
Okay. You just slowly grew it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think
I did the big chop, and I remember those first few days when I just had really short hair feeling, not self-conscious, but feeling like I had to, like, girl it up. Like, I was, like, wearing these big earrings and lipstick just because I felt like, you know when you, if you're used to having long hair to be feminine, and then you lose that, there's this perception, like, oh, I have to do something to, like, prove that I'm, like, girly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is stupid, but.
I don't know why I always feel that way. Like, because I'm always like, Alex, do I look like a man right now? Like,
oh, I forever
itchy, like, I don't know.
Yeah, no,
I say that's bad, but
no, I feel that way all the time because I feel like, especially in Atlanta, so let's talk about Atlanta, because when I always talk about when I went to Spelman, what a, like, eye-opening experience it was in terms of how women just in the South period, let alone like black women at an all-black college, dress in terms of, like, you have to be, like, ready and presentable and, like, everything matches and goes together and the hair is done and the face is beat and the nails are done. And I wasn't ready for that at all because I had never experienced that. Like, I grew up here in New York, then I went to school in California. You guys grew up in Atlanta, right? So you saw that all the time and the club dresses and the, and it's very different from, it's, right?
Yeah.
It's very different from your aesthetic.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you know what I mean?
I never really fit in with those crowds.
Yeah.
Yeah, like all my cousins. I don't know, like, yeah, like my cousins were like that and I just couldn't relate. And I also, like, I moved to, like, Texas, and I had an experience where I was able to move to England for a while.
Oh, that's
so
amazing.
There, I think that changed, like, my whole outlook.
Where in the UK were you living?
I stayed in Crawley, just, like, south of London, and then I stayed in Swindon.
Okay,
I went
to
school at University of West of England for a minute.
Oh, nice.
In Bristol, so, yeah.
Oh, wow. I love Bristol.
Yeah, it's beautiful there.
Yeah.
It's fun.
And a good music scene.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah.
I think that, like, I would say that changed my life. Like, moving there just changed my whole perspective, like, on the world and, like, being black from America.
I know.
So,
I know.
Yeah. Freeing being there. So
right.
So I can just be. So I think coming back here, coming back to the States, I was uncomfortable because I went straight to Atlanta and then I was like in Lithonia. So
right.
It was like, ooh, you know, totally different experience.
Right.
But yeah, I think that like changed my mindset of like, oh, like this isn't all that I could be.
Right.
If I'm not interested, I'm just not into it.
Right. And then have you guys growing up, have you experimented? Did you do braids or have you done different stuff with your hair?
Yes. I actually went to one of my old Facebook pages and I saw all my old pictures. I had so many different looks.
Like yeah.
Braids, weaves. I had like ruffled bangs. And, like, yeah, I definitely had a lot of different looks.
And so now having your hair kind of consistently the same way, do you like worry you're gonna get sick of it and want to change it up? Actually, no, I saw your hair in a shoot recently.
Yeah.
For opening ceremony, was it? And you had like this amazing like sculptural.
Yeah, I just threw
that looked
on.
Amazing.
Cause my hair was breaking off too. Like I had for some reason like in this like area my hair was like breaking off. So
yeah.
I wasn't happy with my hair at that.
So
time.
You wanted
so, like,
to.
And then I got tired of that. That wig look.
Yeah.
Because I didn't really feel like me.
Right.
So, like, I ended up going to the hair salon and she, like, trimmed my hair and it was really, really short. Remember?
Yeah. I freak out after trims because I'm like, can you just trim it? Why did I just get a haircut?
Yeah.
She took her hat off
it was and so we were just short.
Right. But I don't know. What is it about stylists? It's like you say you want, like, the small, just trim the dead ends, get my hair healthy, and it's always a cut.
But it needed to be trimmed.
It needed to be.
My hair was. Yeah, my hair was a hot mess. It, I couldn't put the popcorns in the way I wanted it to look.
Yeah.
I just wasn't happy with my hair. So after that, I mean, my hair grew really fast after
right.
she cut it.
That's
so.
True. Yeah, a good trim actually does help your hair grow fast.
Yeah, it helps. Yeah.
And what about you, Isis? Have you experimented and done different hair things?
I do my own hair mostly, so I did like my own braids and twists. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah, a lot of stuff. Only thing, I remember one time I had this big, like, blonde thing in the front.
Do you dye your own hair?
No.
Okay, good.
I got it dyed, but I didn't take care of it, so it, like, all broke off.
Yeah.
Like, the front of my hair was just, like...
I know.
Destroyed and...
Things you learn while you're young.
Yeah, it's just like, I would never do that again, but...
You know what? I think it's interesting. I feel like as Black women, there are no shortcuts, right? Like there's no easy hairstyle. There's no, because I've been looking for it. And I feel like I would have, even like crochet braids are pretty easy because like they just, you know, braid down all your hair and then put the hair in. You don't really have to do anything to it. And then I like it because you can like get to your scalp to like cleanse it, which was always my issue with like weaves. And like, have you guys ever done a weave with the net? Like that mesh closure situation?
I've never done that.
It's...
I've
horrible.
Seen, like, pictures.
Yeah. It's, and also there's nothing quite as bad as, like, a bad weave. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
Or a bad wig. It's like, why did you think that your own hair, no matter how unhealthy it was, didn't look, right? Like, a bad wig is, like, probably the worst thing ever, but people kind of play themselves. I don't know.
I remember when I was in middle school, and I hated my hair. So, like, my sister used to do her friend's hair. Like, she was young, too.
Yeah.
And she used to, like, do glue in.
Oh, my God.
I remember.
Like, when you glue the tracks in.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
She.
Isis is dying right now.
Because she. So she would, like, she would braid my hair, then put the cap on. Like, put a cap on.
Oh, my
and
God.
Then glue the tracks onto my hair. It was horrible.
Oh,
like,
my
I
God.
Looked like, I looked like a lion. I looked like a lion from the Wizard of Oz. Like, it was so bad. Immediately after she finished it, I took it out. It was so hard.
You had to get the glue out.
Yeah.
I know. Oh.
Yeah, it was so hard to take out.
The things that we go through with our hair. God.
Seriously.
Okay. Well, okay. Let's talk about... You're like the beauty products that you guys love and like use all the time, or like beauty trends that you guys love. I read an interview with you. You said that you love natural beauty products, and like that's my obsession. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
I love. I mean, right now I use Shea Moisture and this other product called Curls.
Okay.
Which is really good. I use their like shampoo and moisturizer and their edge control, which is really good.
Oh, nice. How often do you shampoo? I shampoo like. Not that often.
I don't really keep track. But
yeah.
I just know that when it's time to shampoo my hair.
Yeah.
My hair will get really like dry or weird and
drippy. Yeah.
So, yeah. I always know when it's time to wash my hair.
You just kind of, like, listen to your hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what about skincare products?
I just simply use charcoal soap.
Oh, nice.
And then I have to exfoliate with it. I use a Vanity Planet spin brush.
Okay, yeah.
And I exfoliate with that. And then afterwards, I'll spray some rose water with glycerin.
Yes. Yes, I love rose water.
Yeah.
It's like the best.
Yeah.
My skin's really sensitive, so I have to keep it simple.
Yeah.
I can't do too much or my skin will break out really bad.
Yeah. And you have beautiful skin, so I'm sure people ask you all the time, what do you use? What do you use? But I bet your mother and your sister, I bet they have great skin, right? It's genetic.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, my mom has great skin.
Yeah.
And yeah.
You can use products to help, but like you're usually born with
it. I mean, stress bumps here and there, but it happens.
Yeah. And what about you, Isis?
What, hair products?
Hair, beauty products. Like, what's, like, your must-have, can't-live-without products?
I use black soap for my face. I also use, like, a spin brush to, like, make sure I'm exfoliating.
Yes, okay.
And I started using Kiehl's. They have, like, an oil-free face wash that I use because my face is really oily. And
Kiehl's makes good products.
And I use rosehip oil to, like, moisturize. Or grapeseed, like, whatever is there. So either one of those oils to, like, moisturize my face.
Nice. So you're doing natural moisturizer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love rosehip oil. Yeah. And grapeseed oil, I've actually started, I make this, like, body oil for, like, when I get out of the shower. And it's, like, grapeseed oil, coconut oil, rosehip oil, actually, sweet almond oil. And then I just have all these different essential oils that I'll, like, add. So I'll be, like, the last one I did was rose and sandalwood. And it was, like, a very...
Nice. I'm gonna try that.
Yeah. Commercial lotions just aren't what's up.
Oh, no.
I haven't used a lotion.
Like a Jergens. Like, I'm, it's like, what is that?
Oh, yeah.
So what do you guys use? Like just oils or like shea butter?
Shea
or?
Butter, yeah, oil. Definitely oils.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so easy to make your own.
Mm-hmm.
And people spend so much money. Even the thing, the product that kills me the most in terms of how much it costs versus like you could literally make this on your own is like sugar scrubs, like body scrubs.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, literally just take brown sugar or white sugar or even sea salt and just add some oil. You can add olive oil, grapeseed oil, coconut oil.
And
I'm guilty though.
You buy it? I know.
Shea Moisture body scrub.
I know, because it looks so beautiful in the packaging and it's like.
Hibiscus rose smells so
good. You can buy some hibiscus and rose oil. And you can make it.
And stop being lazy.
I know. But you know what? I think once, it's like kind of like learning to cook for yourself, you know?
True.
Once you start learning how to cook, you're like, oh, this is easy. I can't believe I like feel like I always have to go out. And then you start making your own beauty products slowly but surely, and you're like, I haven't gotten a facial in years because I just do my own facials at home.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I mix up some egg whites.
My pores are so big. I don't know.
Do you know? Okay. Do you know you have beautiful skin? Do you know you have to try an egg white facial? You just take like 3 egg whites and you like whisk them together. You can add like some lemon and you just smooth it over your skin and your pores are like amazing afterwards. That. Yeah. You guys have a very natural look. How much does makeup factor into your like stage shows? Like, do you guys have people that are doing your makeup or are you doing your own makeup?
Yeah, we do our own makeup.
You do your own makeup.
Yeah.
Unless we do like a shoot where like they have a makeup artist. Yeah. We just do our own makeup.
Yeah.
Keep it simple.
I didn't start really wearing makeup until college.
Like, oh, yeah?
Really, like, wearing makeup. And then I regretted it afterwards because, like, I would wear makeup and then take it off and I have a pimple or something.
Right.
But I think as I grew older, like, my skin started to become less... I didn't have as many reactions.
As sensitive, yeah. But that is, people that have really good skin, one thing that I've noticed, a lot of my podcast guests, they don't wear makeup. They're like, I just let my skin breathe.
Yeah.
Some people like wear, they're like, oh, I wear makeup to work, but on the weekends, I just like let my skin breathe. So maybe there's something to that.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think you have to have days where you just, also it's kind of like a self-confidence thing. Like I know women that won't leave the house without makeup on or even let their partner see them without makeup.
Yeah.
Well, that's deep.
Yeah.
Now that's different.
And like what's happening there, right? Because I think you get used to seeing your face a certain way and then...
Yeah, that's scary. I do try to keep it natural. I don't usually go out without makeup, but like just like powder, not like a full like beat on my face.
You're not doing contouring
not every day. I mean, I have a little contour today, but
It looks very natural.
Thank you.
And you have amazing eyebrows. What do you do for your eyebrows?
Thank you. Well, I heard that you put like
castor oil. Yeah.
That helps it.
Have you been doing that?
Yeah.
Nice.
I've been doing that, and then I just put a little.
You know, you gotta give it time. Rosemary on it. You know, rosemary
oil. Yeah. No, it really does work. It really does work.
Yeah. So, and then I just put Elf has like a brow thing.
Yeah.
I just use a little. I don't know what it's called. It's like the little cream, and I just like doop,
brush
it up, and then.
So you don't even use pencil?
No.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
they look amazing, amazing. And would you guys ever like want to do like a really bold makeup look? Because I feel like you guys usually look very natural. Is that just more kind of what you prefer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me personally, I love natural looks.
Yeah.
It's like. I don't like doing too much, especially like when I'm going out and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I just like to keep it simple.
Right.
Yeah.
And again, I'm just going to bring up Atlanta again. That's very different from the like going out culture in Atlanta, right? I mean, people really, really.
I mean, it depends on what, who you're.
True. Like, it depends where you're
there's
going.
So many different groups in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going out in Atlanta. There was this place called MJQ's that was popular.
Yeah,
it's still around?
Yeah.
And that was like kind of like a cooler-ish crowd.
Like the underground thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the three spots.
Okay. Yeah, that was like
that's
cool.
Yeah.
And then I don't know, where was your vintage store?
College Park.
College Park.
Yeah,
okay.
College Park. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, there are definitely like pockets of the city where people are just relaxed and doing their thing. But I'd say like overwhelmingly so, it's like that very like full glam. And then of course like all of the body surgery. I was at the Hip Hop Awards. Okay, so I was at the Hip Hop Awards, and you know it's so interesting. Your eye gets trained to things, and they start start looking normal.
Yeah.
But when you objectively step back and you think, like, the bodies that I'm seeing are so different from what you know in your head is like a natural woman's body.
Right.
But now we just kind of accept it as normal. I don't know.
Yeah,
people just need to be.
It's none of my business.
I agree. I'm not going to like police women's bodies and tell them what to do with their bodies, but I do think I worry about like younger girls seeing it and thinking that it's normal. Because if you see something enough times, you're like, oh, that's normal. That's what people look like, and like we just have to kind of recognize like this is so far from normal.
Yeah, just do things for you and not for a man. That's
yes.
That's really what I want people to know.
Yeah.
Anything. Like you said, people don't want their mate to see them without makeup. That's crazy to me.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I've never heard that before.
Really?
That
you haven't
like
heard that before?
I know.
Girls that don't want their like guys to see them without makeup on?
Yeah, that's strange.
Yeah. You'd be surprised, though. I think it just all goes back to like self-confidence and people not feeling like they're worthy enough. In terms of like artists whose style you admire... Like, I'm obsessed with, like, Jimi Hendrix. I feel like he's,
his style is awesome.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Every single time I see, like, a new image, I'm just like, the textures, the prints, the patterns, the silhouettes, the swag, and also just
lived in it.
The way that you wear
it.
It's just him.
Yeah.
And you can tell he wasn't working with a stylist. Like, that was just, like, him.
I think that's why we really like the 70s, 60s aesthetic, because just people were just so, like, real, like, all the stuff that was going on in the world, and they, I don't know how they expressed themselves. It wasn't, like you said, like, it wasn't, like, vanity. Like, it was very about, like, the people and, like, having a message. Like, I love that. I love it.
Yeah.
And I think one thing that became really popular in the 70s was this like multicultural dressing, which is interesting. And I love that aesthetic, but thinking about like cultural appropriation and even like Halloween's coming up and there's this party that we were going to that's like an Egyptian like Cleopatra theme. And I'm like, can I dress up like Cleopatra as a black woman or am I like appropriating a culture? It's like, it's very difficult.
Yeah, it's hard nowadays. I don't really know what to do because I was like on Instagram and I saw somebody like, had like a Moana, is that how you say it?
Moana
costume. And I was like, ooh, that's cute.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know if I want to do it because it's like the Asian Pacific culture. Like, how does that work?
But, it's like a very fine line, and I feel like maybe as black women, we have a little bit more license to like borrow from other cultures.
Yeah, I totally understand cultural appropriation. I guess like people have to understand it though. It's like, is it because they don't understand the culture,
mm-hmm.
or is it because they're just doing it? Like, what is the...
Right.
Why do people get, like, really upset about it?
Right.
So, and I know we are sensitive about, like, our hair and, like, having, you know, other women who aren't black to, like...
Do black hairstyles, yeah.
But we understand, like, how we've been seen in the world.
Right.
So if we do it,
right.
it's another...
It's ghetto
it's another
and...
story.
Yep.
But if they do it, it's a...
It's high fashion.
Exactly.
Right. It's almost about, like, how is it perceived by different audiences? So, like, I guess if I were to wear a kimono, I don't think a Japanese person would be offended because I was, you know, I like the style. I think it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I just want to wear it. But if I were to wear, like, a Native American headdress that's, like, to symbolize, you know, a warrior that's, like, earned his stripes and, like, I'm just wearing that to, like, Coachella, mm-hmm. then it's offensive because I'm kind of... divorcing the item of clothing from the meaning. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. It's a fine line, but I do love this idea of, like, borrowing from other cultures, and I feel like that's what makes 70s style so amazing.
Yeah.
Because it was, like, that whole, like, multicultural hippie mix. But I listened to a podcast recently about Africans who are offended by African Americans wearing African prints. Yeah, and I was like...
That's very interesting. This is, like, too deep, like, now.
Yeah.
I don't know where to start.
I just
start.
Feel like people are always going to disagree with something.
Going back to when you guys were growing up, middle school, high school, did you guys, like, fit in? Did you feel like... Did you guys feel like the pretty girls in school?
No, I definitely did not fit in. I had friends, but I was still a nerd. I mean, I had these oval glasses, and my mom always did my hair, like... I don't know. I saw these old pictures and I was just like, oh my gosh. I wore the same hairstyle actually when I was in middle school. I always wore it up in a bun, like a messy bun. And I was quiet. Like,
yeah.
I was really quiet and shy.
To yourself.
Like, yeah, to myself.
And what about for you, Isis? Were you the popular girl in school?
Not at all. No. Half of me was, like, really bad in school, but, like, the half of me was
bad,
like,
academically, or, like...
No, I was really good academically. It's just that I had, like, behavioral problems.
Yeah, that was
so,
me too.
Really?
Well, I talked a lot. I would always get in trouble for, like, talking in class, because I always, like, want to talk to my friends. I'm like, stop talking.
I was more, like, bad, like, fighting.
Oh,
like,
ooh.
That. Yeah.
You seem so, like, good. Quiet and calm and...
I'm reformed. I've definitely changed a lot, so I'm grateful for that. But yeah, I was, middle school, I was bad, but I got expelled, actually.
Really?
Yeah, and then, like I said, when I moved overseas, it, like, changed my life.
It changed everything.
So, yeah.
That's cool. And what are there, like, any beauty trends that you see happening now that you just feel like you wish were over and, like, you just don't want
to... over?
Yeah, like, you're just over it. You don't want to see it anymore. I had one, and I think it's a very unpopular opinion because I love a good highlight, but I feel like with Fenty coming...
I was about to say over-highlighting.
It's like there's a time and place. Like, you're glowing like the sun, right? I feel like there's a time and place for highlight, and now I feel like people are doing the absolute most. People are really...
But it's on the cheeks.
Right, and it's just like...
And the nose. It's a little too much there. I guess it's like, yeah, just find out how much works. Like,
right.
Getting, like, a natural light, like, to fill it
mm-hmm.
out, like, see how it's going to look in real light. Because,
yeah.
you know, you're in, like, the bathroom, it could, you know, you don't know how much you're putting on.
Right.
So, yeah. Over-highlighting.
Yeah. It's...
Yeah.
Anything for you? You agree?
I would say the squiggly eyebrows, but I don't think that's...
No, when I saw that, I was like, is this real? I was like, is this a real beauty trend?
I don't think... Because I don't really see people doing it. So the moment I see someone, like, walking
in the street,
like, with squiggly eyebrows, I'll be like, okay, yeah, that needs to end.
So how did you guys, like, kind of learn to do your own, like, hair and makeup and styling yourselves? Is it just kind of training your eye and trial and error?
Yeah, I mean, my mom, she, like, had to go to work early in the morning, so I had to figure it out.
Yeah.
I had to figure out how to look cute going to school, but... I mean, yeah, that's whatever. I just know what works, like,
mm-hmm.
whatever works for me.
For you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet, though, that there are a lot of people listening who, like, see your style and really admire it. And it's hard to style. It's an interesting thing. I feel like it can't really be taught.
Mm-hmm.
But there are things that you can do to, like, help get a better sense of style. Like, what would you
mm-hmm.
recommend people do if they're like, I want to have better style. Like, where should they start?
I would say start simple. Like, I love black turtlenecks.
Oh, yeah,
like, I
me
think
too.
It's just, you can wear a black turtleneck with any bottom, and it could look like you're stylish. Like,
so true.
So I think a black turtleneck to start off with. Also, I was just like looking around the world, and I was just like, wow, like the earth has like a natural color palette.
Ah.
Like looking at, you know, blue, white with green works, or
oh wow,
you know, yellow, green. You know, find out, like, look at the world, like, see how. What do you find naturally beautiful? And like, look at that, and like, you can put
that's
some colors together.
So interesting.
It could work out. Just like, start simple, like smooth. That's just my
yeah.
opinion. Like, I love like smooth, you know, straight,
very yeah,
simple lines.
And even looking at people who came before us, like fashion from like we
Audrey
said, the
Hepburn.
'70s. Like, yeah, Audrey Hepburn, Diana Ross,
yeah.
Jimi Hendrix. Like you
yes.
were saying earlier, like. Being inspired by people who are
right.
stylish
right.
as well. Like,
yeah.
I think that would be a...
Yeah, I always catch myself, especially in New York, you see someone who's really well-dressed, and it's not enough to just be like, oh, they look good. You almost have to study them, right? Like, I'm like, let me just walk an extra block behind them. And it's like, what is it about this look that's working so well?
Mm-hmm.
And like, Audrey Hepburn's a perfect example of having the most amazing proportions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so cliche to be like, oh, Audrey Hepburn has amazing style, but she's a cliche for a reason. She's
yeah.
just absolutely
beautiful.
Flawless
yeah.
all
yeah.
the time.
Hair to
yeah.
the feet, yeah.
Everything, mm-hmm. everything. Okay, I don't want you guys to leave without talking about the music a little bit more. You're part of Wonderland, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have someone like Janelle Monáe behind you, and she's so amazing, and I'm sure it inspires you and like kind of protects you guys in a way too.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just been watching like all of the news, all the stuff happening with Harvey Weinstein, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like how predatory the industry can be. And like what a blessing it is in a lot of ways that you guys have the like security of a woman, right? Because
mm-hmm.
that's rare. A lot of people basically have to get into the music industry from like
mm-hmm.
some man who
mm-hmm.
may or may not have the best intentions, but then also someone who's a creative as well and kind of understands what it takes and can like mentor you guys through some of the stuff that she's probably gone through. Like, what has it been like to be part of like that group and have Janelle's support?
It's been amazing. Like, even watching Janelle too, just being inspired by what she's doing, and
right?
Being able to be in the same room and just experience her, she's,
right?
I mean, she's a phenomenal woman. Like she's a boss as well.
Yes,
so.
She walks in like with wanting, like you know, you have to respect her,
right?
And I also think the team around her, they also respect women too.
Mm.
So they keep quiet. You know, they don't try to override.
Mm.
You know, if you have an idea or whatever, they allow you to speak. And I feel like it's also about, you know, walking in knowing like your worth.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that other people don't do that.
No, but that's
you know,
very real.
And not giving in to knowing that you have a power.
Right.
So you don't need to go a lane, a certain route. If there's a no there, like try another way to do it.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And we were, like you said, we've been like super blessed to have been in
yes.
this atmosphere, because we also have like Wonderland has a female CFO, like,
oh really, so it's like from the ground up, just totally
yeah, like,
yeah.
She's a mother, like
yeah.
There's other, like on our management team we have women, so we know that people are being respected, and
yeah.
we've actually turned down, you know, performances because we heard about, you know, certain little things. And
yeah.
Like, we can't do that.
Good for you
so
guys.
Just from, like,
yeah.
who we are and, like, what we stand for. Yeah. Just, if I don't know, try a different door. Like, if one door doesn't work for you, there's some man there that's saying you can't do this unless you do that. Like,
I know.
Just know, like, no one can stop what, like, God has for
mm-hmm.
you, like, whatever the plan
yeah.
is for your life.
Right.
No one can stop that.
Yeah.
So just know, like, someone says no, there's always a yes somewhere else.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
don't get caught up. Do not
True.
Get caught up.
Yep. That was a word.
Yeah.
I have nothing else to say after that.
True.
No, that's great.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you guys so much for coming on to the Naked Beauty Podcast. And
yes.
I'm gonna get tickets to your tour. Like, I'll see you guys
yes.
in November.
Awesome.
All right.
Thank
Thanks,
you.
Guys.
Thank you.
He did me dirty, so I let him go. Now everything is alright.
Alright, aren't they great? Make sure to check them out at saintbeautyband.com. They're touring soon. If they're going to be in your city, make sure to get tickets. I'm super excited to see them. They're going to be in New York in November, so I'm definitely going to be at that show. All right, here's my interview with Joy, their manager, where she talks through some of the stuff that she had to go against becoming a woman in the entertainment industry. And before I go, I just want to say thank you guys for sticking with me. Sorry for the long hiatus. I will start to be releasing these episodes more regularly, so they will come out bi-weekly every month. If you guys have any feedback, thoughts, anything to share about this episode, make sure to use the hashtag NakedBeautyPodcast. And I am at Brooke Devard on all platforms, Twitter, Instagram. You can email me at brookdevard@gmail.com. I'm here. I'd love to hear from you guys. Thank you guys so much for all of your support, and thank you for listening.
List of women who were affected by him, though. I saw
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah.
That's so sad.
Cara Delevingne. That was like the weirdest story.
And they felt like they can't say anything.
I know. And
so disgusting.
He's, I think, over the course of his career, like, has been nominated for 300 Oscars. And then in terms of Academy Awards speeches, they say that Steven Spielberg's been thanked the most, then Harvey Weinstein, and then God. So, like, that's how powerful he is in the industry.
That's so sad.
Wow. Yeah.
Super sad.
Okay, so, Joy, I have to introduce you properly. Do you want to
kind of... do a full interview?
No. I'm just going to ask you specifically about, you know... kind of the behind the
another
scenes.
Segment,
yeah, I'll find a place to put this in. So introduce yourself.
Hi, guys. My name is Joy Young. I am a member of the Wonderland management team.
Great. And how long have you been doing that?
Well, I've been with Wonderland for about 2 years.
Okay.
I've been working professionally in the music business for about 10 years now. I just celebrated
Carded. You look so young.
I know.
That's good, though. That's amazing.
Yeah,
you're like,
funny.
I still get carded.
Yeah, it's funny because time passed by so fast. I didn't even realize it was 10 years until like the other day when I was walking into Atlantic for a meeting. I was like, oh, shit, this is... Oh, can I curse?
Yeah, of course.
I was like, oh, shit, this is where it all started for me. And I was like, it's literally been 10 years. It's been a long time.
Yeah. So you've seen a lot.
Yeah. Seen a lot, done a lot, been to a lot of places.
Yeah. And so the girls earlier were talking about Wonderland and what an inclusive and positive environment it is.
It is.
Tell me about the experience there versus the music industry more broadly.
Girl. Well, when I came up in this business, I'm not going to say the name of the label, but I worked for an independent rap label that had major distribution.
Okay.
So you can imagine it's very aggressive.
Yeah.
There was only, besides myself and maybe some interns, there was only one other woman working for the company who was a general manager, but there was still a lot of challenges. I remember a specific incident where she was going through something with the CEO. And it's funny, they don't know who I'm talking about if they hear me.
Yeah, that's fine.
She was going through something with the CEO, and then she took it out on me. And that day, I quit because I was like,
you're like,
who are you talking
this.
To? Like, you're not going to talk to me like that.
Right.
And so, you know, being in an industry where you have to be very defensive, you have to protect your reputation. Especially if you're like freelancing, like if you're not working in-house for like a major or indie with major distribution, you're just out here freelancing, permalancing,
right?
Then you really have to like be defensive. You have to protect your reputation.
Right. You know your worth.
Know your worth.
Yep.
So prior to Wonderland, I still have my own company, but I was 100% an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
So I was out here, you know, crabs in a bucket,
right.
You know, fighting for the check,
right.
Defending myself. So there were a lot of instances where I had to come across different men in the industry, whether
right.
it was with major labels or
right.
just people trying to hire me, where that first interaction is like, okay, is this business or
right.
what is
right.
this? You
right.
know?
And how are you able to tell? Like, is there a red flag when someone's like, oh, would love to hear more? Like, let's meet in this hotel bar. Like, how do you draw?
That's, yeah.
How do you draw? Like, how do you know? Because there could be a man.
For
that,
one. And I don't know if it's like this for everybody, but
mm-hmm.
I mean, like, when you're an attractive woman,
right.
African-American female, attractive, like, yeah, it's going to happen. So for one, you know, you got to look at, like, the time of the day that they text or call.
Yeah,
the location.
Point. Yeah, yeah.
Whether they're, like, flirting or it's just,
right.
like, little
right.
flags you could pick up on where you instantly know if this is BS or if it's business.
Right.
But in addition to that, like, well, I have several instances that I can think of off the top of my head where, and this is, I don't know what show this is going to be for, but this is going to be good, okay? So,
yeah.
like,
tell us.
I was in college, right? And we were doing a promo run for Atlantic, and I was also doing a promo run for Trill Entertainment. The national promotions director at the time for Atlantic knew that we were going to be at FAMU and literally switched his hotel to where we were staying so he can kind of like...
That's creepy.
Asked me to come to his room, and I was like, whoa, like, what kind of mess is this?
Oh my God.
So that was one instance, and then there was another instance where, you know, I was managing a street team in Atlanta. The same guy came down to Atlanta for BET Hip Hop Awards.
Yeah.
This one used to be
in Atlanta. Yeah, yeah. It's Miami this year.
And I literally was out there with my street team, and he like made a pass at me in front of my team. Like, that was straight up disrespect. And
yeah.
I was just like, yo, like, what the fuck are you doing?
So you addressed it with him?
Of course.
Yeah.
And I was like, you, like, first of all, that's completely wrong. And it's like, how does that make me look in front of my team?
Right.
That was another instance. There was another instance where I was managing promo for a group that was signed to the same label and the same guy. Well, no, it's not the same guy. It's a different guy. He got mad at me because, first of all, I was a married man with kids.
Mm-hmm. They always are.
Trying to get at me.
Yeah.
Got mad at me because I wasn't, you know, giving him any play, and literally called the project manager. I'm getting off a flight to New York. Called the project manager. Was like, I don't want Joy working on this project.
Ugh. I mean, I shouldn't be surprised, right?
Because
you wouldn't give him what he wanted.
Right.
And men try to abuse their power this way.
This is a real thing.
Yeah.
Like, this is a real thing. So going back to my initial point in this interview that I did yesterday with OK Player, and she was just like, you know, what is one thing that you learned working in this business? And I immediately just went back to that. Like, women just have to understand, especially if you're young, you're talented,
mm-hmm.
you're beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You may be a little naive, but, you know, but at the same time, it's like, you don't have to compromise yourself
mm-hmm.
to get anything. Because first of all, if you're spiritual and you're grounded and,
mm-hmm.
and you know your worth, you know that whatever is out there for you is for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to put yourself in any kind of situation that you don't want to be in to get to that.
Right.
And if you do have to do that and you feel like you have to do that, then it's not for you.
Right.
It's not
yeah.
true. It's not for you.
Yeah.
You should be doing something else.
Yeah. No, I think that's amazing advice.
So, yeah, that's, yeah. This is a real thing. And so that's why I'm like so adamant about, I've always said that I'm so adamant about mentoring young women, especially who come to me, who reach out to me, whether it's, you know, social media
right.
or in person, or like, I speak a lot at high schools and colleges.
Oh, that's great.
And they come to me as like, I want to know how to get into the business.
Yeah.
I'd be like, girl, come here. Like,
yeah.
I feel like I have to be like a guardian angel to these young women
yes.
because there are some guys out there who don't mean well and who
mm-hmm.
does not have your best interest at heart, regardless
yeah.
to what they say.
Yeah, no, that's yeah. great advice. Thank you for sharing that.
No
and I
problem.
Think that it's something that is going to have to change over time, but the first step to it changing is for us to just, like, speak about it openly.
Right.
And not pretend like it's not happening.
And I just realized I didn't even answer your question. So the difference...
yeah, no, but...
So when I came to Wonderland, it's so funny. It's like... being in that type of environment where it's like doggy dog or whatever, and you
right.
feel yourself having to fight for everything.
Right.
When I first, and I, y'all don't even know this, when I first came to Wonderland, like, I had this, I don't know if it was conditioned in me, but every time, like, for example, if I did something and, you know, my GM or the operations manager would address it, I felt like I did something wrong. And
right.
I felt like
you're on
I
the
was
defensive.
Trying to defend.
Yeah.
my action or my
mm-hmm.
decision or what I did, and it wasn't that.
Mm-hmm.
What I realized was it was just the team having open dialogue or a brainstorming session or just open communication about things that needed
mm-hmm.
to happen or things that have happened. And then I also realized, like, this was a place where I could feel safe
mm-hmm.
being who I am.
Yeah.
You know.
Which is huge.
Accepting my black girl magic
yes.
and not, like... To Alex's point, like Facebook memories.
Yeah.
Is,
you're like, I'm living in the present. I don't need to know what happened
so
7 years ago.
I would
this
look
day.
Back at some of my pictures, like, I would be so glammed up. Like, to
right.
your point about
yeah.
Atlanta, like, I would be so glammed
all
up.
All that pressure
and
to be.
The weaves
yeah.
and the makeup
yeah.
and the hair.
The body con dress.
Well, I never did body
you did,
con,
okay.
but I was so done up. Working in an industry that's male dominated,
right.
you feel like you have to have, like, a certain appearance
yep.
or presence.
Absolutely.
So I would look at that and even look at not. Like, if I don't want to wear makeup, I'm not. If
right.
I want to wear my hair natural, I'm happy with that and feel comfortable
right.
doing
right.
it. If I don't want to match my clothes today, like,
yeah.
I don't have to.
Right.
And so, you know, Wonderland is, like, a safe place. And I kind of tell that to people when I talk to them. I'm like, yo, the difference between now and then is, like, I feel like I can be myself and accept it. And also, I feel like, you know, my talents mm-hmm. are recognized. Right. You know, it just feels really good to be somewhere where they value you mm-hmm. and they don't want to see you go. Like, there's been a few times where I've been offered jobs
yeah.
and they've offered me a better
salary,
something, because right. they don't want me to go.
Right.
And it's like, they know my worth. And they right. don't want to see me leave. And yeah. I appreciate Wonderland for that. And I mean, like they said, like being around Janelle and our general manager, Mikhail Moore, who's so, like, everybody on our team, even down to the artists, are so brilliant.
Right.
And it's just a cultivating environment.
Yeah.
To be great. Yeah.
You guys are selling me. I want to, like, apply for an internship there. Sounds like a great place to work.
Everybody says that.
Yeah, no.
But
it's
really
special.
Is. Like,
it sounds
really special. It's a great place to be. And even with the job opportunities that I've gotten since I've been here, I'd be like, I don't know if it'll be a better situation than yeah. at Wonderland. You know, coming from where I came.
Right.
You know, working in this business is like, I don't know. No, like, nah.
Yeah.
I mean, of course I'll use it to better
right,
myself.
Right. Yeah, of
but
course.
Nah,
cultivate the relationship.
I don't see myself leaving for a while.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's great. Well, thank you for sharing your thoughts. Problem.